Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Come on, let's give God some praise. Oh, is that the best you've got? You're patty caking. Put your hands together. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's time to run on this city and take it for the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, what a joy to be here today. I'm all nervous, as you can already tell. I haven't done this in years. I just pastor a little country church, as I have two little congregations, and we're just, you could probably put us in your bathroom. There's not much of us, but we're strong. Praise God. Amen. I want to first say what an honor it is to be here with a powerful, mighty, insightful, and visionary man of God and woman of God. He wouldn't be worth a half a hallelujah without her. They are truly one. And I'm telling you, God has sent them here to pastor you and to lead you to victory. Can you give praise to God for the pastor? Pastor David and Pastor Nicole. Come on, let them know about it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. I love him dearly. I have admired him from afar that they weren't able to put out. You'll get that in a minute. But I remember back in 2006, I've never forgotten it. He used to come to Tampa with Pastor Randy and just give a word, like just shake the house. But I'll never forget. I was sitting on the stage, and Pastor David, you had the big grand piano out in the middle of the stage, and he and Nicole were just moving, and he sang this song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." I will never forget that. And he has never failed to bring a word from the Lord. Insightful. I'm honored to be in your pulpit. I'm glad my wife is here. Woo! Pastor John's mom and I have been married now for 45 years. Still going strong. And I wouldn't be worth a half a hallelujah without her. And I mean that. And I give honor to Pastor John and Pastor Jocelyn. My God, I know what the word of the Lord told me when he was born, actually a couple months before he was born, and it has rang true, and I am so thankful that they are here and that they are working in this house. Would you give praise for Pastor John, Pastor Jocelyn? Amen. You know, they tell me that this is the last Sunday in this venue. So the preaching will stop here, but it will be even greater where you're going. The glory will not be here, but greater glory will be there. The power will not be here, but greater power will be there. God is leading you to plateaus that you have never dreamed of. He's leading you to victories against terrible armies from hell, but you will conquer because you have been made more than a conqueror. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that 2020 is going to be just magnificent without a fight, because if you don't have a fight, you don't have a win. If you don't have a battle, you can't wear a crown. If you don't bear the cross, you can't know the glory of a well done. And I just want to tell you what an honor it is for me to be here. What an honor. I always like to start out with something funny. And the minute I walked in here this morning, I thought of a Sunday school teacher. She was teaching her class about Easter. And she said, "Now, can any of you tell me what Easter is all about?" Little Susie raised her hand. "Yes, Susie, what's Easter all about?" "Well, Easter is when we all get together and eat turkey, and the family comes over and we watch football." "No, I think you're talking about Thanksgiving. That's not..." "Oh, yes, Freddie, what is it?" "Well, Easter is when we have beautiful trees and we put ornaments on them and we give gifts to each other, and it's a..." "No, no, I don't think that's it, Freddie." "Yes, Tommy. Well, Easter is when Jesus came out of the grave." "Well, thank God," the teacher said. "Somebody knows what Easter is." And then Tommy went on to say, "And if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter." I just had to tell that. I just had to tell that. I want to preach to you this morning on a probably an odd sermon title. John has asked me, I don't know how many times, "What did you say that title was again?" And I keep saying, "I'm preaching on the gap." The gap. Now, I got to remind you one more time. I haven't done this in so many years. I'm probably going to do some things crazy. And if I do, Pastor David will be back next Sunday. But I just want to tell you, I want to talk about the gap. The minute he called, I also teach school. I teach middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th. There are about 1,300 kids in our school. And I've been blessed the last 5 years to be able to have representation in the Florida All-State Honor Choir. We sent 4 last year and 3 this year. And I was just sitting around the table at lunchtime, and Pastor David called. And when he called and asked me to come, I didn't need to pray about it. I wanted to be here. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Preach on the gap." So I'm talking to you about the gap. Now, the dictionary defines a gap as a break between two entities. One can't get to the other, and the other can't get to the one. What would this have to do for Dwell Church? Well, let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and verse 12. "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Well, what in the world has that got to do with a gap? Oh, it's got a lot to do with it. You see, in verse 8, you'll find out that a horrid challenger had come against Israel, and his name was Amalek. Now, the word Amalek means valley dweller. Now, Dwell Church, you don't want to be dwelling in the valley. You better watch out when the valley dweller comes to your house. You better watch out when the valley dweller comes to your faith. You better watch out when the valley dweller tries to get in these church doors. You better watch out because there's a lot of people that want to dwell in the valley. There's a lot of people that want you to dwell in the valley. There's a devil that wants your finances to dwell in the valley. There's a devil that wants your family to dwell in the valley. There's a devil that wants your mentality to dwell in the valley. He wants to soak your brain with depression and oppression until you don't even know how to laugh. Watch out for the valley dweller. Well, Moses immediately told Joshua, get some soldiers and go and fight against the valley dweller. When the valley dweller comes in, you've got to fight him. When the valley dweller comes in, you've got to praise your way out of that valley. When the valley dweller comes in, you've got to worship your way out of that valley. When the valley dweller comes in, you've got to give your way out of that valley. Don't let anything stop your faith when the valley dweller comes knocking at your door. Rise up and fight him. Well, they fought. Now, we're not talking about six or seven people here. We're talking thousands. They're dying right in front of Moses. But he noticed when he stood, thank you. But he noticed. I was on a roll there. I'm joking. But he noticed when he raised his hands, Israel would prevail. But when he lowered them, they would begin to lose. That meant they would die. They would die. So he raised his hands and he kept them there. But he couldn't do it anymore. And we have a gap. Moses has the promise. The fighters have the power, but there's no connection. Because Moses is not physically able to raise his hands. How many are with me? There's a gap. But thank God for an Aaron, and thank God for a Hur. We don't hear much about them. We don't have the first church of Aaron, and we sure don't have the first church of Hur. There's not much that you're going to know about Aaron and Hur, but they didn't care about who knew their name. They slid a rock so that Pastor Moses could sit down. And one lifted his hand on one side, and the other lifted his hand on the other side until Israel won. I want to know, is there a Dwell Church member in here this morning that'll say, Pastor David, you can't set these chairs up, but I'll be glad to join the team. Is there a Dwell Church member in here this morning that'll say, I'll take the chairs down? Is there a Dwell Church member that'll say, I'll work the nursery and I'll change the dirty diaper? Is there a Dwell Church member that'll pass out the program? Is there a Dwell Church member that'll make sure the place is clean? Is there a Dwell Church member in the house that'll raise his hands up? Is there a Dwell Church member in the house that'll fill in the gap? Is there a Dwell Church member that'll say, Pastor David, whatever you need me to do, whether they know my name or not, I'll hold your hands up. I'm asking you, is there a Dwell Church member in here today? Fill in the gap. Then there's another gap in the book of Exodus. It's found in the book of Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. It said, yet now, this is Moses, if thou won't forgive their sin, or if you will, but if not, blot me out, I pray thee out of your book, which thou hast written. There was a gap. I want to tell you what the gap was. God was angry. He was so angry at the children of Israel, he was going to wipe them out. So you got a gap. Because if something doesn't happen, the children of Israel are gone, then Moses steps in. And he says, if you'll forgive them, that's good. But if you won't forgive them, then wipe my name out of your book. Because if they're going down, I'm going down with them. If they're hurting, I'm going to hurt with them. If they're struggling, I'm going to struggle with them. I'm wondering, is there a believer in this house today that if other fellow believers are having trouble, you're not going to gossip about them? You're going to get down with them and help them out of that sludge. Is there a believer in this house today? I mean, you're going to do more than just make a noise. You're going to go to that one that's hurting, and you're going to reach out until you pull them back in. I'm wondering, is there anybody that says, I don't care what their sin is, and I don't care what people want to say about me, that's my brother, and that's my sister, and I'm going to fill in the gap. I'm going to go to where they are, and I'm going to keep loving until I get them out. I don't care what you want to say about me. I don't care about rumors. I'm going to bring them out. Fill in the gap. There's a third gap. This is kind of an odd one. It's found in the book of Genesis. And it says this, Genesis 21, 1 through 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I believe they've got the scriptures up there. But it simply says, Sarah conceived. That's pretty neat, being she was 90. By the way, John's granny, I got her on the phone up here, and she's 90. And I can tell you right now, there ain't no way she's going to have a baby. But I got no brothers or sisters coming. But you know, some of you really need to smile. It would help you tremendously to get through this sermon. It's probably going down fast. But look at this. Oh, my God. Oh, thanks for reminding me. I'm old now. I slobber. I do. I'm not going to lie about it. There's nothing big about me. She conceived and bare a son to Abraham. Now, he's really smiling because he's 100. And he done fathered a child. My God. That's a pretty big day. And just what you're doing right now is what they called that baby. Because that was the Hebrew word to say and laugh. Isaac. In other words, I think we'll call this boy laughter. Now, really, when you look at Isaac's life, there's not a whole lot to him. He's not shaking any bushes. All he did was grow up and get married. They had kids. But yet he filled in a gap. I mean, Israel is a prince with God. Israel is a mighty, mighty nation. But it came from a heel grabber, a crook, a trickster, and one of two twins that was fathered by Isaac. Abraham had the promise. He had the vision. But he didn't father Israel. Israel has the promise. I remember when I was a teenager, back in 1967, I'll never forget it. And I was listening about this war that was going on in the Middle East. It was kind of shocking. Israel was outnumbered 25 to 1. That was the best odds they had, and that was with tanks. But yet in 6 days, they rose to victory. Why? Because God's glorious anointing was upon them. But there would have never been an Israel if there would not have been an Isaac. Let me say it again. There would never have been an Israel if there would not have been an Isaac. We cannot all be Israels. Some of us have to be an Isaac. We cannot all be Abrahams. Some of us have to be an Isaac. We can't all preach. Somebody's got to say amen. We can't all sing. Somebody's got to worship. We can't all run the church. Somebody's got to be led. Somebody's got to be the church. Somebody's got to rise up and say, I'm a team player. I'm a dwell church member. We're believers. We're on our way to victory. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I don't need the pastor to call my name. I don't need the pastor to pat me on the back. I just want God to know I'm here to fill in the gap. If you want to take this city, you can do it. But he can't do it by himself. He can't do it. Nicole can't. Pastor Nicole can't do it. Pastor Jocelyn can't do it. But Dwell Church can do it. If you'll fill in the gap. I'm coming to an end here. Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. I don't know if y'all play, but if you do, this is your set. Hey. Here's my point. Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. There is an outbreak of utter grief in heaven. Nobody's shouting praises. Nobody's having great worship. It's gut-wrenching grief. It's that grief when you have cried until you can't cry anymore. It's that grief when your tears have stopped. It's that grief when you've searched for hope in every direction. But instead of finding answers, it's just getting worse. What's the problem, heaven? Why all the crying? Why all the weeping? John, why are you crying like this? Because no one is worthy to open the seal. And no one is worthy to open the book or to read thereof. It can't be done. The blood of bulls and goats will not suffice. Man is damned. Damnation has come. because no one is worthy. Oh, God, can you imagine the sadness in your life if there was no Jesus? If there was no one to comfort you in the midnight hour. No one that when your friends couldn't get to you, that would say, I'm here. Utter loneliness. Grief cannot be described. John is just drained. And all of a sudden he feels a hand on his shoulder. It's one of the elders. Don't weep. Don't cry. There is one, and he is worthy. He can open the seal. He can open the book, and he can read the book because he is the book. He is the word of the living God. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he cannot fail. He is worthy to open that seal. He is worthy to fill in the gap. Oh, come on. Is that the best praise you have for your Savior, your Redeemer, your Lord? Worship. He filled in the gap. He left the pleasures of heaven to come to the earth and live in sewage. Because when you compare what we are to what he is, to what he had to lay aside to get here, to what he had to give up to get here, to the pain that he would suffer to get here. The most glorious words in the Bible to me are those words found at the cross when Jesus cried out, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes that when a person dies, their spirit goes back to God who gave it. When Jesus said, I commit my spirit, it meant he was dead. He gave up the ghost. And he carried with him your soul and mine. That's when he filled in the gap. That's when he said, when you're alone in the midnight hour, I am with you. That's when he said, I know you're broken beyond description, but I'm here to put you back together. I know you've cried till you can't cry anymore, but understand that I'm weeping with you. And when you're done, I'm going to show you the sunrise. That's how he can do it, because he filled in the gap. And he made us better than new. I got to be honest. My old self would just preach away right here. But I have one more point. One more gap. But the problem is, this is a different kind of a gap. because this gap will never be filled. There was a man in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Theologians tell us that his name was Davius. He was real. He was a rich man. The Bible said he fed sumptuously every day. There wasn't a day that went by but what he didn't have more than he needed. But he had so much of what he had. He didn't see his next door neighbor, Brother Lazarus, that was laid at his gate, covered with sores. And the only comfort Lazarus would receive were wild packs of dogs that will come by and lick those sores. I want to tell you what, Dwell. Don't get so wrapped up in the glory of God that you don't see that next door neighbor that's crying out for just a handshake, crying out for somebody to say, "Hey, man, I care." Don't get so wrapped up in the glory, because you're going to have it. Power, you're going to have it. Moves of God, indescribable. But don't get so wrapped up in it that you don't see the people God called you to reach to. But Davius did. And he died. I guess it was the same day, so did Lazarus. Lazarus was taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom. But Lazarus lift up his eyes, being in torments, not meant, but torments, indescribable. Actually, the Bible doesn't even tell you how horrid hell is. People are going there every day. And I'm going to say this, and I'll stand on it. Jesus said this: there's a way that leads to life everlasting. It's a straight and narrow way. What did he say? And few there are that find it. Now that's Jesus himself. He said there's another road. It's wide. It's broad. You can do somersaults on it. But it's leading to damnation. And many there are that find it. By Jesus' own statistics, there'll be far more that will make hell their home than heaven. I'm going to stop right here, and I want to ask you, do you really care? Is that what motivates you when you walk in these doors? Is it those souls that are crying for just a crust of spiritual bread? I didn't want to put you on a downer on this last day, but I'm just giving you what God gave me. What's this got to do with the gap? He said, "Look, Father Abraham, I'm tormented. Son, remember. Remember. Remember all that good stuff you had. You couldn't share it. All you could do is go around and get blessed." And Lazarus, he didn't have any blessings. But now he has nothing but blessings. Well, Father Abraham, here's the gap. Send Lazarus that he can come and dip the tip of his finger in water and just cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Sorry. Can't, because there is a great gap. It's so great and so broad that he can't come from us to you. And you can't come to us from where you are. You see, that's the gap that can't be filled. Why are you preaching to us like this? I can assure you, I don't know anybody's name but the Binions and the Brockmans. Anything past that, I don't know anything about you. I just know I pray for you. I prayed for you when you launched this ministry. I prayed for you and checked in on you every week that I know of. I don't know you. And I'm going to leave you with this. If you died right now, would you be looking at a gap that you want to move, but you can't?
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.